Blog Talk Radio.
Good Christmas morning to everyone out there. Those who are tuning in live, this is Blog Talk Radio for December the 25th, 2010. We are Answers for the Paranormal, and this is our Christmas show special for today. My name is Bill Posey, and I'm your host for this show today. And with me on the line to help us celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is my co-host, Joe Marotti. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Bill, and Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to all who are listening, and may the peace of God's Savior be with all of us this day. Let's rejoice and just be glad.
Yes, amen. One of the great things about Christmas, Joe, is just being able to get together with family and friends and to just celebrate the season. And I know that we both were out on Christmas Eve celebrating with our families, and I thought we would just take a little bit of time here in the beginning of our show just to relate some of our Christmas memories, some of the things that we experienced as we were children and then growing into adulthood, and just the whole Christmas surrounding and the festivities, the things that bring joy from just being together with people that we love and celebrating Christmas. So, Joe, why don't you start out here and just relate some of your Christmas memories?
Sure. Our family grew up in North Philadelphia, about three blocks away from Old Shy Park, and then It was then Connie Mack Stadium closed down in 70, and we moved out in 69. But from 60, the year of my birth, to 69, the year that we moved, I spent those 10 Christmases, first 10 Christmases in North Philly in a little row house on 21st Street. And I can still picture in my mind where the Christmas tree was. You just walk in. You would walk in. It was kind of a rectangular row house, and the Christmas tree would be back in the right-hand corner, and I remember the platform that my father would set up every year. No trains or anything, just the platform, and the tree would kind of be sitting on the platform. It wouldn't be on the floor. It would be on the platform, and around the bottom of the tree there would be scenery, like my mother and father would put like that the old fake snow. I don't even know if you can still get it. It was like almost like confetti type material, and we would put roads, and there were little cars and little houses, the old Plasticville houses, and I used to just love looking at it. It was just beautiful to me, and certainly the joy of waking up early on Christmas morning and opening up those presents. You know, it's a funny thing is I can't remember as a child that young one present that I got. I really don't remember.
Really?
I can't remember one present in, you know, the time that we were in North Philadelphia that I got. I just can't remember one specific thing. I know I got a lot of gifts. It's very weird with me. I'm usually very vivid in my memories. And I can, as we moved up into the suburbs, but at that point I can't remember. I do remember one time sitting on the couch the day of Christmas. This I remember vividly. I remember sitting and listening to my father tell me, he said, "Joe, I had to help Santa Claus in last night. He could not make his way down the chimney, so I had to help." My father was he could fix anything. He was one of those dads that, like,
right,
you know, if the roof collapsed, he would have it back up by the end of that day. He was that type of dad. So I think he got a kick out of my wide eyes sitting there on the couch listening to him basically telling me how he saved Christmas by letting Santa in through the chimney. Couldn't fit through. I don't remember the specifics of how he did it, but it was just just remember the joy of and the simplicity of it. I don't think that we went anywhere. I think that we just stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
And that carried up into the suburbs where my brother still lives in the house that we moved into in 69. Again, Christmas was always very special to my mother. She was so oriented towards decorations and mm-hmm. the cooking and just the festivities that went around Christmas. I remember that we and I don't know if anybody does this today, but we would decorate our Christmas tree. We would have our Christmas tree, but we wouldn't decorate it until Christmas Eve. So
that's right.
Yeah. Did you guys do that too?
Yeah, we did too. We would have the tree up at least a few days ahead of time, but you're right. It wasn't until Christmas Eve that, as a family, we would all get together and decorate the tree. Yeah, that's amazing. Maybe that was tradition for that time.
I don't know. We wouldn't even have it up. We would have our tree. It would be outside in the back or
right.
in the basement. And my father would bring it up and you know, we would set it up put it into the tree stand, which again went on top of a platform like we did back in North Philadelphia, and the scenery underneath the tree. But yeah, it was Christmas Eve, and it was never a thought like, "Well, man, we should have this tree up for a week or two before Christmas." And I always liked the fact that we did that. Now, I didn't carry that on as a tradition with my family because I don't even know if I ever tried to do that, but I just remember as a father setting it up at least a week, sometimes 2 weeks before Christmas. But yeah, and I'll tell you one memory I do remember, a very vivid memory. There's some gifts that I used to love to get. I used to love to get the electronic football game where the guys would vibrate and move along the field.
I love that game.
It never worked.
You could never,
set them up.
You could never control them.
No, you could never control them. They would run around like the Eagles back in the 70s with no purpose, you know, where they would finish 1-13. Well, that's how the electric football guys worked. But I just love and I love the little guys with the uniforms.
Yeah.
I can still see the Dallas Cowboy uniform.
Did you ever paint them?
Yes, I did. I painted them my own team. I would make up a team and I would paint them. It was all wishy-washy, and it didn't look good, but it was just fun trying to do it. And I remember saying, "My mom, I think I got that like 3 or 4 different Christmases," and my mother would say, "I'm not getting that for you again. You'd never play with it." And there it would be under the tree, and the excitement would be just as great. I remember one other time. This was, I think I was 17, and I played for the ice hockey team in high school, and our goalie was injured, and I had to play goalie. And I asked my mom, I said, "Mom," and this was before Christmas, "I need goalie pads." I needed it like 2 weeks before Christmas, and that was going to be my main present. I wanted them anyway, but my mother resists. She said, no, I'm not going to break tradition. I can't do it. And then she finally broke down. I got to her, and I think it was like a week or so before Christmas, we had a game, and I actually got the goalie pads, so I would be able to play goalie. But there were other gifts I got that year. It was just wonderful memories from Christmas, and then it carried through into I remember one time me and a friend who was living with us at the time, we went crazy with decorations on the house in the suburbs here where my brother still lives. We had lights everywhere. Everywhere you could fit lights, we put them. And it was just that one year we went crazy. But then as I became a father, got married and became a father, we always made Christmas very special for our kids. And, you know, early in my fatherhood, I was not a believer, and a lot of it was Santa Claus, and mm-hmm. there were just presents all over. You couldn't even walk. We had presents all over, filling up half of our little cottage over there on County Line Road. It was just great to see the kids come down, and I have a lot of video from that time.
Sure.
Trying to think of one really special gift. I can't think of anything off the top of my head where my kids went crazy over. They just had so much to open. And another tradition was pancakes and bacon on Christmas morning, and certainly coffee as the kids are opening the presents. It was just a day that we really looked forward to as a family. And another mm-hmm. tradition is carried through to what you mentioned, where we were both out last night. My wife's side of the family, they do Christmas Eve family celebration, and which we did last night at Sandy's mother's house. The nursing facility that she's in Norristown here in Pennsylvania. We've mm-hmm. done that for the last couple of years. But we would do that at her house and Sandy's father's house in King of Prussia, where the whole family would get together and do with Pollyanna, and the kids would get gifts, and just a good time of celebration with the whole family. And I never had that as I was growing up, where the whole family would get together. We were all kind of isolated, and it was nice mm-hmm. to just have this new tradition where the whole family would get together and just talk. And, you know, it's only a couple times a year where you get together, like we're able to get together like that. And just really nice, really nice. We always enjoy ourselves at that. So those are some of my Christmas memories, and I'll always cherish them, always cherish them. How about you, Bill?
Yeah. If you're tuning in right now, you're listening to Joe and Bill of Answers for the Paranormal, and the usual way that we do our shows is that we touch on a subject of the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And most times we'll have a guest on, but Joe and I base everything that we do around the Word of God and
that's right.
and the gospel. But today we're just reminiscing a little bit about our Christmas memories.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing some Christmas music, and we're going to have a message from God's Word on the birth of Christ and what it means to us.
Mm.
But my Christmas memories, Joe, they're not, you know, very similar to yours, actually.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that I experienced, I could relate totally to what you were saying. I grew up, I was born in the Germantown Hospital in Philadelphia. We lived in the Logan section of the city of Philadelphia. And I guess we lived there for the first 9 years of my life before we moved up into the suburbs, where I lived for most of my life until I met my wife and we started our family. But my earliest Christmas memory was in our house on 7th Street in the Logan section. And Christmas for us started like right after Thanksgiving. I mean, literally you had Thanksgiving Day and then just the whole build-up to Christmas started that weekend. And my dad was a big Christmas-like guy. So our house was always decorated to the hilt with lights. Subsequently, when we had moved into the suburbs, of course, we had a bigger house than we did that row home in the city. And, I mean, he would outline the whole house, even the roof, with lights. So I have a friend here where I live now in Warminster. He's about 6-7 houses down from me, and actually he's my boss now. But he has a display that's unbelievable out in his house. And when I look at it, I think about our house the way it used to be decorated. But I always joke with my wife. I say, well, you know, Dan's house is lit up enough for everybody else on the block. I mean, he's got so much stuff, Joe, that he has to
I saw it last night, though.
He has to ask his neighbors to put stuff on their lawn.
Right.
But, it's pretty funny to look at that and then think back to what my dad used to do at our house and how he would always decorate it up. And, you know, you brought up about not recalling any of your gifts that you received when you were really young. And actually, I do remember one present that I received. I guess I was about 6 years old. It's probably my earliest memory. It seems that 6 years old is kind of like the age where you start to really, your brain processes more and more stuff.
Right.
And, you know, becomes part of your memory. But I remember getting this gun, this rifle, and it was called the Johnny 07. And I mean, it had so many gadgets and things on it. It was like this super spy gun. And I still remember to this day the name of it. And I remember when I opened that up and I was like, you ever see that commercial now where the kid gets the Ovechkin jersey on TV?
No,
and he's jumping around going, yes, yes, yes. And that's kind of the way it was when I got my Johnny 07.
Yeah,
but
that's
probably my earliest memory. And like you, my dad put up a platform. We did have trains.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a railroad guy. He worked for the old Penn Central Railroad, which actually became Conrail. And I'm not even sure what it is today, but he was a railroad guy. So he had this, you know, elaborate train setup. I mean, with trains going like in all different directions. And remember the old Adams family where they kind of had on their trains and they would intersect one another, the trains would hit
absolutely
and fall off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he had something like that where but he had a time to where the trains never hit each other. They kinda, you know, the one would go by and then the other one would come around. So it was pretty elaborate, and I just remember that. And of course cookies. Always the smell of baking, cuz my mom was into baking, and I just remember the aromas in the house at that time of the year. And traditions, I mean, yeah, we kind of had the Christmas tree tradition that I talked about a little bit earlier, and just some other things that we did as a family. And then as I became a teenager and then into my early adulthood, not too many special things, just remember getting, you know, together with family. And, you know, it always, at least for us, it was always around family. And then when I met my wife and got married, you know, you have a whole nother family now that you're part of. And so you kind of look at their traditions and kind of the things that they do, you know, how some things are similar to what you do and how things are different. And
right.
Now every Christmas, we go down to Susan's sister's down in the Mayfair section of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that, you know, she has this, it's probably like a four-room, one-floor apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get 50 people crammed in there.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know how she does it, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and she always has her place decorated up beautifully. I mean, their tree, you could take a picture of their tree and it would be like, you know, this would be the ultimate Christmas tree that you would want. She always has an unbelievable tree.
Wow.
And just her decorations in her house and everything, it's just so much fun. I so look forward to that every year.
That's neat.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, so those are just some of my memories. And, you know, as you say, they're always great and, you know, just an awesome thing to reminisce about.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, Joe, I'm going to, we're just going to play some music right now.
Okay.
You know, it's always one of the traditions that in our house was we always had Christmas music on. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, and as you say, you know, when you kind of have different traditions before you
mm-hmm.
become a believer in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, some of the music, you know, it's joyous music, but it's not
right.
God-honoring music. It's,
sure.
you know, the,
right.
the Santa Claus and Jingle Bells
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And now,
right.
I still like hearing those things, but
oh, yeah.
it's just
yeah,
something about the, you know, the Christmas carols that it just warmed the heart. So this is a selection that Joe gave to me last night. So I hope you enjoy it. So be blessed.
Mm.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, and from angels bending every ear to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in silent stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Hidden here beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, and who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now for glad as golden hours come swiftly on the wing, and a rest to beside the weary road, and hear the angels sing.
Give the angels sing.
Amen.
Wow. That's awesome. Love that that rendition of that song.
Yeah.
Oh, we have like another. We have another selection too. We'd like to play for you now. You're listening to Answers for the Paranormal, our Christmas special. This is Joe and Bill, and we're hoping that those that are listening in are being blessed by just some of our Christmas memories and some Christmas music. And then we're going to have a message from God's Word. But before we do that, let's listen to this song. This is Answers for the Paranormal, Joe and Bill. And this is the Word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Joe, can you pray, please, before we go to God's Word?
Father, we thank you for this glorious truth, Lord, that Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus came to be with us that first Christmas in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. The joy was so great at that time, and it is so great today. As we think about what took place that first Christmas, we are overwhelmed with the reality of that event, and we are comforted and overjoyed at what it meant and what it means to us today. Father, for those listening, for all of us, Lord, may the joy of this day, the joy of this celebration, the joy of knowing that God came to be with us in the flesh, to dwell among us, may it impact our lives. May some hear and believe and be saved, and may many be built up in their faith. Use this time now for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. What is it about Christmas time that brings out the best in some people? I'm not talking about the guy who cut you off yesterday in the parking lot of the mall when you were doing your shopping, or about those people who do everything they can to strike the Christ out of Christmas. I'm talking about people who will go out of their way to buy that perfect gift. And it could be that diamond ring that men buy to propose to their lovers, or maybe it's that toy or doll that your young child has coveted and you just got to have it. Or how about those who will donate to charities to make someone else's Christmas brighter who are less fortunate? It seems that Christmas time becomes a time of joy that people just don't experience the other 11 months of the year. In addition, have you noticed how your expectation of Christmas changed as you got older? Today, Joe and I related some of our stories about Christmas and how things changed from the time we were young to when we grew into adulthood. Mm-hmm. When you were a child, it was all about what you were going to receive, and everything leading up to that day was so exciting. But as you matured, you still liked receiving gifts, but it was the giving of gifts and the reaction of the person that you gave the gift to that brought you satisfaction. And hopefully that person that you gave the gift to was happy about the gift and not disappointed. Or worse yet, they returned the gift the next day or exchanged it for something else. But today I want to talk to you from God's Word about the gift. It's about a gift that's given, a gift that's received, and a gift rejected. So if you have a Bible handy with you, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says this: "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Mm.
And may God add blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Well, this account in Luke's gospel is the traditional Christmas story that is told about the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There are two accounts in the Bible about Jesus' birth, and we heard first from the account in Matthew's gospel, and today, just now, from Luke's account of that Christmas morning, that first Christmas morning.
Yeah.
And this is still the biblical account that we read as a family every Christmas morning. I get together with my wife and children, and before we go and open up our presents, we read from God's Word, and this is the passage that we read and reflect on.
Yes.
Joe, do you remember watching a Charlie Brown Christmas?
Always.
It was one
always.
Of,
and
it was one
and
of
we,
the...
And we still watch it, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite Christmas shows, you know. Another tradition around Christmas time is when we got together as a family, it was always all about watching the shows every night, and every
mm-hmm.
night there'd be a different one on, and
right.
you know there were some ridiculous ones like the Claymation one with Rudolph, and then you had the Grinch that Stole Christmas and
uh-huh.
and others, but the Charlie Brown one was always my favorite one, and the creator of Charlie Brown Christmas, Charles Schulz,
right?
You know, his social commentary. Was so keen and on target in that show. And
wow.
if you remember, Charlie Brown is depressed because he looks around and he sees the commercialism of Christmas and he's just turned off by it. And not even putting on a Christmas skit can bring him joy. And as he's walking along, he encounters his dog Snoopy, who has his doghouse all lit up. And when Charlie Brown says to him, Snoopy, what's this all about? Snoopy hands him a flyer that reads this, find the true meaning of Christmas, win, money, 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 spectacular,
yeah.
super colossal neighborhood Christmas lights and display contest. Oh, Charlie Brown's disgusted and takes the flyer and throws it in the air. And next he encounters his little sister Sally, who wants him to write a letter to Santa for her. And her demands are the type of gifts that she wants is it's just too much for Charlie Brown to bear. Charlie Brown's dismayed that even his baby sister had become greedy. Writing a letter to Santa Claus was one thing, but demanding cash from him was just absurd to Charlie Brown. So finally, Charlie sent off to buy a Christmas tree for the Christmas play. And we all know he buys this ugliest tree ever. the thing is just almost dead as he brings it back.
Mm-hmm.
And as he goes to put an ornament on it, it nearly topples over. And Charlie Brown laments that he killed the tree. And the rest of the Peanuts gang is around, and they're laughing at Charlie Brown. And off they go, leaving Charlie Brown behind with Linus. And Charlie turns to Linus and says, well, I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone out there who understands what Christmas is all about?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I can tell you what Christmas is all about, says Linus.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to recite verses 8 through 14 of Luke's gospel that we just read.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as he gets done reciting that, he picks up his blanket, he turns and he looks at Charlie Brown and he says, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
That's right. That's right.
Truer words never spoken. That is what Christmas is all about. We love getting together with family and friends. We love the gift giving, the gift receiving, the ornaments, the lights, all the things around Christmas. They're all great things in and of themselves. Nothing wrong with that. But when we focus in on that only and not on what Christmas is all about, we lose such an awesome thing that God has given to us.
Yes.
And that is what Christmas is all about, my friends.
Mm.
If you're listening live today or tuning in to the podcast, it's all about God's wonderful gift to us that first Christmas day. It's the gift of a Savior. The Apostle John put it this way in his gospel. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him."
Amen.
Now, this scripture passage tells us three things. It tells us, number one, we need a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we can't save ourselves. And number three, that Jesus is the only Savior.
That's right.
We all give gifts to loved ones at Christmas time. And most of us have the usual trouble in going out and buying them. You know, we have to put up with the traffic around the mall and the people bumping into you. And sometimes gift buying can be a nightmare.
Mm.
And then there's always, well, what shall I give them? What do they need? What will they like? Well, now he's got one of those. That would be nice, but it's just too expensive. Well, my friends, God had no trouble like that when he gave us his Christmas gift because he knew exactly what we needed.
That's
he knew what we did not have and what we could never have unless he gave it to us.
Mm.
And not only that, it was a very expensive gift, but God himself was willing to pay the cost.
Amen.
That's the gift given. Secondly, it was a gift received. Notice the reaction of the shepherds in our scripture passage. They received this good news that the angels brought to them, and with great joy they went to see the baby and his mother. And having seen and believed, they then went into Bethlehem and told everyone they met the good news.
Mm.
God gave us a Savior because the fact is we're all sinners.
Mm.
And we need saving from the guilt and the consequence of our sin, which the Bible describes as death and hell.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible states this, that the wages of sin is death. And contrary to popular belief today, we can't deal with our own sin. There's nothing that we can do to pay that penalty that God's word says that we receive. The wages of sin is death.
Right.
And we can't do anything to make ourselves acceptable to a holy God. Morally, it might be possible to turn over a new leaf and to change our behavior, but spiritually, it's not possible because God says that all men and women are spiritually dead.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're to be saved, it must be done for us because we just can't do it ourselves. And that's why God sent Jesus to be our Savior. He is the gift.
That is right.
And Jesus is the only Savior because he is God's one and only answer to our sin. There's no one else that God sent to be our Savior, and there is no one else who could save us. Jesus is God's unique gift because of who he is.
Amen.
He is the Son of God. He is, as we heard in the Christmas carol, Emmanuel, God with us. He is God become man. Jesus is God's unique gift because of what he did.
Yes.
He took the responsibility of our sin and our guilt, and he bore those punishments that was due to us for our sins upon himself. The punishment that we deserved was placed on Christ, and the judgment of God experienced by him on the cross instead of us.
Amen.
He was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world.
That's right.
My pastor, John Davis, has a great word that he uses to describe this gift. He says that Jesus is the quintessential expression of God's love. What
Amen.
A great word, quintessential.
Mm.
The quintessential gift, Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Thirdly, the sad and tragic thing that even though we all need the gift and even though God freely gives the gift, most people will not receive it.
Mm.
In fact, they firmly reject the gift. They don't mind the wrappings of Christmas, the festivities, the lights, the cookies, all the things of Christmas. They don't mind that. They don't even mind the story of a helpless baby in a manger. But they don't want a Savior.
That's right.
The wrappings won't meet their need. They can't deal with their own sin. If you're listening, please don't make this mistake again this Christmas. If you've never come to a place in your life where you see your sin as God sees it, remember the gift. Receive the gift with joy. Repent and turn to Christ. The Apostle John put it this way at the end of his gospel in chapter 3. He says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For
mm-hmm.
God's wrath remains on them.
That's right.
How can we receive the gift? First, you need to see that you desperately need a Savior because your sin is real. And unless it's paid for with blood, your sin will condemn you to hell. Secondly, believe that Jesus alone can save you. He paid the penalty for you by shedding his blood for you. And third, receive the gift by repenting of your sin, confessing it to God, and trusting in Christ alone for forgiveness.
Mm.
Just wrapping it up here now. The wrappings of Christmas are lovely, but the gift is even lovelier.
Amen.
It's a gift that never needs replacing. It never wears out, and it never becomes outdated. It's a gift that you don't need to return on December 26th. It's a most precious gift that costs God an enormous price. The gift is Jesus. You need Jesus to deal with your sin and to make you acceptable to God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are so in need of a Savior.
Mm. Amen.
As we look at this world and we look at man and the degradation, the utter contempt for you, your creation.
Yes.
We need Jesus more than ever.
Amen.
And as much as the world and your creation needs to be redeemed, it is man that needs redeeming because of his sin. Father, we are sinners by thought, word, and deed.
That's right.
It's what our flesh cries out for, to be satisfied. And these things fall short of your glory because it transgresses your law.
That's right.
And Father, you desire that all would come to repentance and the knowledge
Amen.
Of the truth of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That you're not willing that any should perish. So Father, we pray for some that have heard and listened today and some that will be listening, Lord, that you will use this, our show, our special on Christmas, to bring them out of darkness and into
mm-hmm.
light.
Amen.
And we'll just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Joe, why don't you give an invitation now to anyone who heard to come
mm-hmm.
to Christ.
Listening to your message, Bill, made me think of a parade that I watched many, many Thanksgivings ago. It was the Rose Bowl Parade, the Thanksgiving Day Rose Bowl Parade, and there were so many things going on in that parade. There were so many floats, and there were so many things being said and celebrated, and there were so many people along the parade route, and I know so many people watching on TV. And in the middle of all that, I'll never forget, there was this one little float. I'm sure it was done by a church in that area. And very simply, on the front of that float, as it moved along the parade route, it said, "Jesus Christ, God's gift to man."
Mm.
And I thought, wow, there is the gospel. There is the meaning of Christmas among all of the glitter and glamour of what we as a culture in this country perceive as Christmas, and the simple message of God, the gift of eternal life, the gift was given in Jesus Christ. And that word is so key, gift. It is something that you don't earn, and something that we should be impressed with, at least this day, where you don't do anything other than receive the love of someone else, and they show that love by giving a gift.
And that's right.
It's, you just open it, you just receive it. And this is the miracle of Christmas, is that this is a free gift that God offers to all men. No matter what you've ever done in your life, no matter what you're guilty of, Jesus Christ was given to you as a gift, and you can receive the gift by simply believing in your heart and confessing with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
He took the sins of the world, as Bill read, upon himself in our place. We rightly deserve the punishment for our sins, but because of his love, his great love for us, Jesus Christ did this when he hung on Calvary's cross. And while you have breath in your nostrils, friend, if you're listening, you are not out of the reach of God's salvation. The gift is offered to you today. Believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, that he was God in flesh. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. Believe that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. We all do. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is what the Bible says. And that Savior was given. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not be separated from God for all eternity, but have everlasting life. And so believe what the Bible says. Pray, believe, and receive the gift that God freely gives in Jesus Christ. Don't go another day. Don't go another day wondering and supposing and listening to all the other voices in this world that tell you this is God and that's God and this is what you need to do and that's what you need to do and that you're your own God. Believe what the Bible says, because it is God's book. That's what the word Bible means. It means book. It's a book that is written by God Almighty himself, using many different authors. And it's, the message is clear that man has been separated because of his sin from God, and there is only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. God is long-suffering and patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So, friend, believe today. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for your sin. And he's coming back someday. He's coming back one day. As sure as his first coming, we're aware of, as we celebrate that first coming, the advent, the first advent of Christ on this earth. As sure as we are of that, we are sure of his coming back, and we look forward to that day. But now the gift is offered. Receive God's gift. It is, as Bill said, the most precious gift and the loveliest gift, and a gift that will never need to be returned, and it doesn't get old. It just gets more precious and wonderful as we live out our lives, knowing that we belong to Him. So we implore you today, on this most special day, receive the gift of salvation that is given only in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe. Mm-hmm. Well, Joe and I want to end our special today just by, if you're listening in, by wishing you the blessing of Almighty God through celebration of the birth of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We wish you all just a wonderful Christmas.
Amen.
As you enjoy this day with your friends and family. And Joe, we also want to send out some special Christmas wishes to people that have become part of our ministry in one way or another. And Joe, I think about the people who have contacted us, who have experienced paranormal activity in their lives, and
right.
being tormented by spirits of darkness. And
yes,
Joe, why don't you take this time and as you bring to memory the people who have contacted us, a special Christmas wish for them.
Yes, and we do thank the Lord that He directed those who have contacted us to our website, and we've established a contact with them, and we just want to send the blessings and wonderful wishes of Christmas, of this Christmas day, to Angela and to Ashley and to Christopher and to Crystal and Melissa. Maybe a couple that I'm forgetting at this point. Am I overlooking anyone, Bill?
I think just Patricia. Did you mention her?
Patricia. Okay. Yeah, so we thank you for establishing contact with us, and we do want to continue that contact. And for any who are listening now or who will listen to the podcast, www.answersfortheparanormal.com. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to continue a relationship. We don't want to make it where we hear from you and we tell you what the Bible says about this or that, and then we don't hear from you again. We certainly want to continue a relationship with all of our friends who contact us. I think this is certainly the biblical pattern of discipleship and continuing on in those relationships. So we just want to wish you a most blessed of Christmas time, and we look forward to hearing from all of you again in the coming year.
That's right.
And just for all of you, we remember you in our prayers frequently, and always are praying for God to bless your lives and to make His face shine upon you. And so just accept this wish of a truly blessed Christmas day and season to all of you.
Yes. Thank you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
We've also had some wonderful guests on our show.
Oh, yeah.
And they have just contributed so much as we've talked on the subjects of the paranormal. I just want to, on behalf of Joe and myself, send out warm Christmas wishes and greetings to Connie Huff of Christian Paranormal Answers. Connie's been with us a couple times, and we've just been blessed by knowing her. And Connie, for your husband and for you, Joe and I send along just a thank you, and just be blessed today as you celebrate Christ.
Yes.
And also Bill Nugent, of Overcomer Ministries up in West Harrison, New York. Bill was with us for a couple shows about UFOs, and he brought some amazing insights from both science and the Word of God into our discussion, and we were really blessed by Bill. And Bill, we want to send along to you and to your mother-in-law and to the rest of your family just warm Christmas wishes, and know that that Joe and I are praying for you. And we thank you so much, Bill. And for Jefferson Scott, Jeff, a guy that we met over the internet, and was with us on our first show about UFOs. And Jeff had just some unbelievable insights into this whole phenomena of UFOs. And what he brought to our broadcast that day is just something that we treasure. And
absolutely.
Jeff, we thank you so much for what you've done. And we wish you and your family, your daughter, and your wife, and we wish you all a very blessed Christmas as well, and hope that you just enjoy the day celebrating Christ. That's what today's all about. It's celebrating what God did for us, the gift of His Son. What an amazing gift.
Amen.
And Joe, I want to thank you so much for what you've done in our ministry, and what you mean to me personally, and what your family means to me. And I've been humbled and just totally blessed by you and your friendship and love. And I just want to say thank you. And I hope that you enjoy this day with your family, creating more Christmas memories and traditions, you know, just thank you for who you are, Joe. And
thank you, Bill. And certainly the feelings are mutual, and it is certainly a case of God bringing two people together, and iron sharpens iron, as the Bible says, and I certainly have been encouraged and built up in my faith by you. Our many trips down to Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission in Philadelphia, and as we undertook this ministry that God gave to us, just really blessings beyond words to have a friend like you and the friendship of your family. And as we struggle through this life together, it's so wonderful to have family in Christ and close friends in Christ. And before I forget, let's also mention Elliot and Stan of the other side of life, who had us on as guests. I guess within the last month, that was certainly a treat. And they are good friends, and they are also in this battle against the deceptions of the evil one. And so we want to also wish Elliot and Stan a very wonderful and blessed Christmas.
Yeah, we do, guys.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that's our Christmas special. We hope you've been blessed by it. I know I was as I prepared for it. And, you know, the music, the memories, but more than that, just the truth of God's word, of who Christ is, and what Christmas is all about. Little Linus was dead on.
Oh,
Joe, Merry Christmas, and
Merry Christmas, Bill.
Enjoy your day.
Thank
God
you.
Bless
God. Bless.
Amen.